My Savior and I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over. And His blood keeps cleansing me, is cleansing me over and over and over and over. Over. Said His blood keeps on cleansing me over and over and over and over and over. Well, and it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Savior and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over. And He keeps blessing me, He's blessing me over and over and over and over. Over said He keeps blessing me over and over and over and over. Well, and it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love. Said I keep falling in love with Him over and over. Said the Lord, He keeps blessing me. He's blessing me over and over. Over and over. Said the Lord, He keeps on blessing me. He's blessing me over and over. Over and over. Well, and it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love. Said I keep falling in love with Him over, over and over. Said I keep falling, I'm falling in love with Him over and over and over, over again. Said I keep falling in love with Him over, over and over. Well, now it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love. Said I keep falling in love with Him over, over and over. Well, and it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love. Said I keep falling in love with Him over, over and over. One last time, said it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love. Said I keep falling in love with Him over, over and over again.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to ask the church to repeat after me. The psalmist said these words in Psalms 100 a long time ago. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Amen. Does that sound like we ought to be serving the Lord and worshiping the Lord and praising God? Amen. We come rejoicing. We thank everyone that has gone before me. We appreciate Brother Rose and Brother Collins for their singing this morning, leading us in a dynamic way. We are appreciative of Brother Kwesi Webb, who did our announcements for us this morning, and we appreciate Deacon Johnny Allen, who led us to the throne of prayer, and we appreciate also Brother Cedric Stokes, who read to us from the Word of God. I want to say welcome to those who are visiting with us this morning. I have a few visitors cards. As I call your name, I'm going to ask you to please stand so that the congregation can see you and therefore be more friendly with you when you make your exit. We're going to ask Florida Hayes to stand. She's a neighbor, as a matter of fact, right across the street. Amen. Thank you for coming in, and we just want to welcome you today and encourage you to come back and be with us at your next opportunity. We also have visiting with us today Cynthia from the Rockdale Street, and she says she's just a walk-in, and her family, her daughter, and her husband, they with us. Amen. Okay. Good to have them. And we also have Rosalind Boyd with us, visiting all the way from McKinney, Texas. All right. And good to have you. And she's also here visiting a close friend, I believe it is. Amen. Good to have you with us. Are there any other visitors? I did see Sister April Crawford, who's with us. She travels all over the country flying as a airline. They call them attendant now, I think. Attendants, flight attendants, okay. And so it's great to see her back home. Are there any other visitors who may be to my left who would like to be acknowledged at this time? Please stand. Are there any to my right who are visiting who would like to be acknowledged? Okay. Again, it's great to see all of you who are here with us this morning. I only have one thing that I want to share with the congregation and encourage the congregation to do, and that is we, the Redford congregation, will be hosting the song service at 3 today. Encourage you to come back. We'll have a lot of sister congregation and members, but it's a treat to get so many individuals coming together at one time to lift their voices and praise God, and so I don't think you want to miss that. We want to encourage you to come back and be with us. Turn in your Bibles once again to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. And for the sake of emphasis, I'll read again from the New American Standard, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Bible says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing for selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. As I begin this morning, I want to call to your attention, no doubt you have seen this before, the insurance TV commercial that features mayhem. He causes accidents, trees to fall on cars and on houses. He causes pipes to burst and flood basements. He causes cell phones to fall at inopportune times and go beneath seats, and people try to find it and they have an accident. He causes animals to run in front of you, and he causes so many other things. His name is Mayhem. This morning, as we look at these scriptures, in these verses, I believe the Apostle Paul is making an appeal to you and me, and he first made it to the Philippians. His appeal was for them to avoid mayhem, avoid deliberate destruction or violence, avoid the things that become the fruit of discord and strife. He wanted them to avoid the havoc and the pain and all of the suffering and all of those other things that plague one who has disunity. Paul wanted them to avoid mayhem so much, he makes an appeal to persuade them with four if statements. He says, if there is any encouragement in Christ. He says, if there is any consolation of love. If there is any fellowship of the Spirit. And if any affection and compassion. And then he went on to say, make my joy complete. And then he listed those things of unity that we have to have. He was saying, there's some encouragement in Christ. He kind of put it in the way of saying, if there is, then you need to do this. He says, if there is any comfort that comes from love, you need to do this. If there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any communion, if there's any joint participation, if there is any sharing going on from the Spirit, then you need to do this. He says, if there is any tender emotions, and you know, sometimes there are some things that won't move us. But when it touches at the heartstring, when it reaches the chords of our emotion, then we are moved. Amen. And he says, if there is any affection and compassion, tender emotions, then you need to do this. The lesson this morning is, unity is better than mayhem. Unity is better than mayhem. The Apostle Paul understood that unity is better than mayhem, and that's why he urged the Philippians to be of the same mind. Phoneti, the Greek word, it means to think, to set one's mind on, to ponder, to hold a view. He was saying, I want you to lock in on this. I want this to be your mindset. I want this to govern you. He says, you need to be of the same mind. You know, they say, when couples have been married a long time, they think alike. That's kind of true. Sometimes Sister Snow and I'll almost say the same thing at the same time, you know. Let's go to this restaurant or what have you. It comes from knowing one another. It comes from appreciating one another. And it comes from familiarity with how things ought to go. Amen? And so be of the same mind, he tells them. And then he also says, maintain the same love. The Greek word, echo and agape put together. You know, an echo is kind of a repeating of the same thing, and it keeps going on and on. He's encouraging them to not change up on their love, but let it echo, let it continue on and on the same way. Sometimes we love some one way, and we love others another way. But he's encouraging, let it go on and be the same. Have it, possess it, hold on to it. Have a view in mind that that's how you're going to be. Says, be united in spirit. Simcycles. It means to be harmonious, to be of one accord. In other words, we can get along. We have no problem walking together. We have no problem going down the same path together. We have no problem doing the same things together. We get along harmoniously. We can sit down and we can converse and we cannot get into an argument. We're harmonious. We're getting along together. Amen. He says, be intent on one purpose. Phonetti, the same word again. Think and have this attitude in you. As a matter of fact, a little bit further on, he says, let this mind, King James, or have this attitude about yourself be in you. And he talked about humility. Let me share something with you. Paul said on another occasion in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10, he says, now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and of the same judgment. You know, it takes some work to keep on thinking the same way. It takes some work to get along and to be in one accord. And so that's why he's encouraging them to be of the same mind, be of the same judgment, agree all as one. That's a powerful thing when God's people can agree with one another. He knew that mayhem can show its head anytime. He knew that the destructive forces of Satan at any time can interrupt and break through and cause havoc in any kind of a relationship. And so that's why he says, be of the same mind. He told those in Ephesus in Ephesians 4 and 3, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And again, in 1 Corinthians 3, in verse number 3, he says, for you are still fleshly. King James says, you are still carnal. For since there, wherever there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and walk as mere men? In other words, you haven't let the Word of God do anything for you. You reading your book, you talking loud in church, but you're going nowhere. Until it can touch you, until it can begin to make a difference in how you act, how you treat folks, and what you think, he says, you're not doing anything. You are still carnal, you're still fleshly, you are still just letting the flesh rule you. That's why Paul says to them, if there is any consolation, or if there is any encouragement. Folks, you've made a commitment to Christ. And Christ ought to be helping you to get along with some other folks. Christ ought to be helping you to be unified so that you can do his will. Unity is better than mayhem. That's why people unify. When certain things happen, people unify when a common enemy attacks them. I never will forget 9/11. 9/11, Americans came together. 9/11, Americans prayed together. 9/11, Americans cried together. And in 9/11, Americans began to roll up their sleeves and they began to work together to make things better for a moment. Then everybody started acting normal again. Went back to their own ways. But did you not feel the power that was there when we came together as one? Forgot about the color of the face. Forgot about whether you were rich or poor. Forgot about whether you were in leadership or not, and began to work together. We all felt the same pain. We all felt that we were in the same situation. And so we came together. We unified. Unity is better than mayhem. That's why people unify when a devastating tragedy occurs in the community. You take the Flint water crisis. It has brought some solidarity. In spite of all the suffering, in spite of all of the things that have gone, it has gone down, it has brought some solidarity. People who are in the same boat, and don't let that boat be sinking, people who are in the same boat have something in common, amen? You realize that if you don't pitch in and help bail some of the water out, you're going down just like everybody else. So sometimes devastating tragedies occur in the community and it brings people together. I want to share with you a time in the Bible in Judges chapter 20, verses 5 through 8, just to capture the story. There was a time when the Bible says that all Israel came together as one man. They came together as one man because a great tragedy, a great crime had been perpetrated in the community. What happened was, there was a Levite man and his wife. They went to a city in Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, in Gibeah. And as they were there, some of the men in that city from Benjamin rose up against them. And the Bible says that they, in the language that we would use today, they basically gang raped her to the point of death. And the whole community, that's why all of Israel, that's why all of the other tribes rose up as one man. They said, oh, what an atrocity. Oh, how egregious is this thing that has occurred in Israel. We need to bring some justice about. And on one thing to their credit that they did, before they took action, they went to the Lord in prayer. And they inquired of the Lord. And God, because at this time there was no government structure, the Bible says at the conclusion of chapter 21, about verse 25, that there was no king in Israel and everyone was doing what they was right in their own mind. So God helped to avenge this situation. He cried, helped them to take care of and to bring punishment and justice to this situation. But on that day, some bad things happened. At that time, Benjamin had 400 men who were great and mighty men. They were men, the Bible says, who were left-handed slingers. They could sling, and they said they could knock a hare down, and they'd never miss it. These were skilled men. And at first, when they went up against, when Israel, the other tribes went up against them, and told them and Benjamin what had happened, evidently Benjamin took the wrong attitude, because rather than saying, we will find these men and we will punish them, they took the attitude, who are you to come against us? You see, sometimes that's why now you can understand why in Philippians, Paul is saying, be of a humble spirit. Because the war that ensued would not have ensued if they had been of a humble spirit. But I guess they figured, hey, we bad. We got some bad boys in our camp. And so because of that, 40,000 of the Israel folks died, warriors. And then all of about 30,000 of those who were from Benjamin ended up losing their life. Mayhem broke out. Amen. Mayhem was in the camp of Israel. The point I want to share with you is that many times when an event happens in the community, it's kind of natural that we raise up and we say, hey, something ought to be done. So it was in Israel. But there's something that I'm just wondering this morning. As they sought the Lord and as they went to the Lord, I'm wondering when will we begin to rise up and say that enough is enough? When will we say that the crime that is perpetrated against innocent people in the community, enough is enough? When will we say that young people that are being snatched and young people that are being abused on their way to school, when will we rise up and say enough is enough? When will God's people speak out and say that we should be doing things a better way? Food for thought. Unity is better than mayhem, because a church is stronger when it's unified. Unity is better than mayhem because church is stronger when it's unified. When the church is unified in leadership, oh, it's stronger. And I'm so glad at Redford we can say this, that we seek to be of the same mind. Not all the time that we agree on everything or go about everything the same way, but we seek to be of the same mind. And because we seek to be of the same mind, we usually get there. Amen. Nothing is being done because one person just has to have their way. No infighting occurs when leadership is unified. The focus is always on what's right and not who's right. The focus is on what's best for the congregation and not I gotta have my way. You didn't listen to me. Building up the church is not personal enrichment, gain, or glory, but building up the church is what's best for the congregation. Amen. Members can't divide and conquer. Mayhem can't break out when the leadership is unified, when the leadership respects one another, when the leadership listens to one another, when the leadership works one with another. Mayhem can't break out in the congregation, and they can stand as one. Paul realized that oftentimes the reality of this takes place even before you're actually doing it. He realized that if you don't set your mind on it, that's why he was said so much about that. If that's not your purpose, if that's not your plan, if that's not your desire, then it's not going to happen. And so that's why he encouraged them to be of the same mind. You might not be there right now, but if you determine that you want to be, you know, in the marriage class this morning, we went from these same scriptures and it applies to marriage. If you want to get along better with your wife, you got to program your mind that you want to do better. Amen. If you want to be in agreement, you got to determine that we're going to stop this fussing and fighting. Amen. You have to make a determination. And that's why Paul was encouraging the Philippians to be of the same mind, to maintain the same love, to be united in spirit, and to be intent on one purpose. When the church is stronger, when it's unified in evangelism, if everybody sits back and think the preacher gonna evangelize the whole world, then we're not gonna get too many souls saved. Amen. When the whole church, all of the members get excited about Christ and start talking about Christ. Start talking about Christ to your mother, to your father, to your brother, to your sister. Start talking about Christ to Cousin Pookie and Auntie Nell. Start talking about Christ to your neighbor down the street. Start talking to Christ, talking to your girlfriend, and as I said, also start talking about your babysitter. Talk to the babysitter and anyone you come in contact with about Christ, and let them know. Why don't you just come on over to Redford? Why don't you just come and visit us? Why don't you just come and praise the Lord with us? Why don't you just come and read the Word of God with us? And why don't you just come and fellowship with us? And we have a good time going on. And, you know, every now and then we put some food in the auditorium or in the fellowship hall, and we sit down and we have a good meal because we got some good cooks up in here. Amen. Oh, yeah. Somebody will come. You start talking like that. Amen. But we need to be unified in evangelism. Everyone, regardless of your age, can say something to encourage someone. Everyone can smile at someone. Everyone can shake a hand. Everyone can do something to encourage people to get closer to Christ. You see, because the church is unified, God made it that way. In Galatians 3, 26 through 28, the Bible says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ," or you've clothed yourselves with Christ. "Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for we're all one in Christ Jesus." Understand that all of us are a product of His grace. None of us, not one of us, is able to save ourselves. That we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it was through God's grace, through God's love, through God's mercy, that each and every one of us are sitting here today. And the church is stronger when we're unified in worship. Oh, listen to this, church, now. Open your ears. The church is stronger when we are unified in worship. When we all sing. Can somebody say with me, all sing. When we all sing, we make a louder noise. And God says, oh, there's Brother Dickerson's voice. There's Brother McGee's voice. Oh, He hears all of our voices. And it's not so much what we sound like, because we can blend it together, and we got some great song leaders who can sing, who help us out. Amen. But when we lift our voices, when all of us sing, it's different than just a few of us singing to God. Our spirits are lifted higher because of the melody and because of the volume when all of us sing. Church, we're guilty of not all singing. Can I get an amen? Amen. The church is unified when we all pray. When we bow our heads, the greatest thing that God has allowed us to do is to talk to Him. Whether we have troubles or whether we're rejoicing, we can talk to God. We can say to God, God, I love you. We can say to God, God, you got my back. God, thank you for helping me. God, thank you for raising me up. God, thank you for taking care of my children. Oh, Lord, I thank you. We can talk to God. And what a blessing it is. Oh, yes, when we lift our voices, Ephesians 5, 19, when we pray to God, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, when we all give something to God that is a sacrifice from what we have been able to acquire. You notice I said, when we all give to God something that is a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, God tried to make a point. You've got to sacrifice to me. And he had them kill thousands and thousands and thousands of animals. Today he thought we would get the point. Give me a sacrifice. Don't give me the scraps. Don't give me the leftovers. But give me a sacrifice. Again, 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. And when we commune with him at the table, the Lord's table, when we drink the juice that represents his blood, oh yes, when we break the bread that goes all the way back to him being pierced on the cross and the things that occurred to him, oh, we are in communion with him. And that's why all of us are called on to commune with God. It's a time in the service when you and I individually can be in oneness. We can be in solidarity. We can be in one accord. We can be in joint participation. We can be in koinonia, sharing together in things that are common. God gave us that. That's why in 1 Corinthians 11 and 26, the Bible says, "For as often as you eat the bread," or this bread, "and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." What a wonderful thing it is to be able to commune with God. And we all ought to do that, every one of us. That's why there's so much of a case for the whole church coming together. The assembly of God's people in Israel, 400,000 assemble to cause a fight, to pick a fight, basically. Why can't we all assemble to commune with God? Why can't we all come together to break bread with God and to be in his presence? There are some times when we need to step back from our emotions, go to God, and let God give us the answer. Amen? Amen. Lastly, I want to share this thought with you, and the lesson will be yours. The church is stronger when unified against the seeds of discord and strife. And I want to point this out, that the seeds of discord and the seeds of strife are always near us. They're sometimes in the local congregation. Sometimes they're in the local area where the church is. Sometimes the seeds of discord are being sown throughout the brotherhood. There are seeds when some people say, oh, you can't clap and you can't do this. And there are seeds that say, let's have some instrumental music going on up in here. And there are seeds that are being sown to say that we're going to take over and be in charge of this. And we're going to put another group out. Seeds of discord. There are seeds of discord that says, I'm the boss in this area. I got the preeminence and I'm going to be in charge and me and my camp and my boys are going to control this. And then there's someone on another side saying something else. The seeds of discord can be in the local congregation. Oh, you know, I'm going to control everything up in here. Ain't nothing going to happen unless it go through me. And I'm in charge of this and I don't need nobody else to be involved in my ministry. Folk, that's what Paul was saying to them. Get your head together. Get your mind in the right place. Be humble and focus on the right things. Rather than creating mayhem, rather than creating discord and strife, why don't you try to work together? To be in one accord? The Bible says in Proverbs 6 and verse 16 through 19, these are things that God don't like. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, and a false witness that utter lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. God don't like that kind of stuff. And when you make God angry, when you upset God, watch out. Watch out. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 20, the Bible also says this. Paul talks about how that he was very concerned with the Corinthians because he didn't know exactly how they were going to respond. He mentions in verse 20, he says, "For I'm afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you that you be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, and disturbances." In other words, mayhem might be breaking out in the midst of you. Paul was concerned. He was concerned that Christians would not get off track and allow mayhem to enter into their lives. All it takes for us is to dispense with biblical traditions and to pick up man-made traditions. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 2, the Bible says, "Now I praise you because you remember me in everything, and behold, the traditions, just as I delivered them to you." Paul says, "I'm praising you because you remember me, and you are holding on to the teachings, the traditions, to the things that I have taught you or that I delivered you." Christ and the apostles have given us the things that we need to do. And we have to be careful that we don't start allowing things to creep in and that we don't start getting away. Because when we get away from doing God's will, we end up into strife. We end up into mayhem and disorder. Lastly, a little pride and a little haughtiness, and before you know it, you've got division. Proverbs 28 and 25, the Bible says, "An arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper." I close with these words from the book of Ephesians, again, where Paul is talking to the Ephesian church, the Christians there. In Ephesians 4 and 13, he says, talking about building up of the body of Christ, he says, "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and by cunning craftiness or deceitful schemes." He says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together, and by every joint supplying according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." In other words, what he's saying there is that when we start doing the best that we can, when we start working together, when we start functioning as one, when we start using the things that we have to build up rather than tear down, when we start to focus on Christ and doing his will, then we begin to mature, we begin to get strong, we begin to grow up into what God wants us to be. Isn't that a powerful thing? Unity is better than mayhem. You've seen the destruction that mayhem causes. And folks, when we're not together, when we don't desire to be on the same page, when we allow discord and disgruntled feelings and all these other things to get in the way,
we open the door for mayhem. You know that commercial. He comes in there and he starts tearing up stuff. And then he gets up, wipes himself off, and goes to see where he can cause some more mayhem somewhere else. Amen. That's a cute commercial. But Satan does that. If you're here this morning and you want to avoid mayhem, or you know what really causes mayhem in our lives? Sin. If you want to avoid mayhem or sin in your life, you need to give your life to Christ. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ before men. Be buried with him in baptism. Rise from that watery grave to walk in newness of life. Seek to be one with God. Seek to do the will of God. And if not, you and I have no control over mayhem. Once it breaks out, oh, it's going to do some damage. Amen. Once you live by sin, and once you allow sin to control you, if you allow sin to dictate what you do, it will cause some damage in your life. Because you can't handle it. You need someone much bigger to be able to spin mayhem, to bring peace, joy, comfort, love, and encouragement. If you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, come today and give your life to Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with things that seem to be falling apart, breaking down, all jacked up and just messed up in your life, well, I've given you the root cause. Why? Mayhem is there because sin is somewhere. Mayhem is there because we're not doing God's will. Because when you're doing God's will, everything can be falling apart around you and you will have peace of mind because you know you are a child of God. Oh yeah. If you're here this morning and you know you need to come, please come as we together stand and sing.
All my trials,
won't you come?
All my cares,
won't you come to Jesus right now?
I can tell them to my Lord, and heal my.
You're not big enough to solve your problems. You're not strong enough to do it on your own.
The pain and the strain.
Come to Jesus right now.
Only Jesus brings me hope through all my trials.
There's still time to come. Please come.
I need bowed in, prayer.
Come to Jesus if you need some prayer in your life. Come to Jesus if you've been waiting on your change and your change hasn't come. Come to Jesus right now.
And gently lay them there.
Even though we're sitting down, you can still come. If you're on the verge of coming, just get on up and come. There'll never be a better day. Today is a day of salvation. When you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Just come to Jesus right now. Is good. None of us could make it if it wasn't for God. None of us would be anywhere if it wasn't for God.
Only
give Him the glory, give Him the praise.
Bring me through all my trials.
May God bless you. You've been an awesome audience. Amen.